Ladies and gentlemen, and all the freaks and geeks around the world, this is Howling with the Wolf, and this is another enticing, engaging, wonderful episode of Nostalgia. Because as much as I love howling and complaining about things, I love reminiscing more than anything else. Last week, we talked about the death of the video rental store, having watched the last blockbuster on Netflix. This week, Toys R Us. Saw in the news today, that's my little Letterkenny intro, saw in the news today that Toys R Us has new owners and they were talking about opening up again. Man, you know what? Stop teasing us. No, you're not. I mean, this is getting ridiculous. First of all, they already tried it, and Toys R Us Canada, as far as I know, is still open. So I didn't even know that as a U.S. citizen when I was buying absolute shit and packaged dust and trying to rip stickers and advertisements off the wall when my Toys R Us closed. I didn't realize that there was still one in Canada I could go visit. And that kind of ruined it for me. I wouldn't have bought anything when mine closed had I known that. But I even heard that there was going to be another version of Toys R Us that would show up as pop-up stores in malls, and they would focus more on F.A.O. Schwartz-style toys, and I think it flopped. I mean, what kid plays with toys these days? Anyway, essentially, if you're opening up a Toys R Us now, you have to cater to adult collectors. You absolutely have to. I mean, that is the only reason to open up a Toys R Us now. And even charge for collector prices. You know, if you buy things from Ringside Collectibles, they're $5 and $10 more expensive than when you would be able to find them at the brick and mortars, Target and Walmart. But it's a guarantee that they're going to get them, as opposed to the hunt, which to me was part of the fun. I enjoyed the hunt and going to find new figures and not even know. I've touched on this several times in different episodes where you never used to know what was coming out. You would just go to the store and see something new or flip through the cards and go, oh man, look it, there's a new G.I. Joe. This one comes with face paint. Remember that? I used to buy G.I. Joes I didn't even want. I think that's how I ended up with like two Muskrats and Spearhead and Max. Nobody wanted those guys, but I bought them because it came with face paint and I could be a green and brown and black face painted Ultimate Warrior. You know, just, man, so many fun things. But I don't think a Toys R Us would survive. Even Target picked up a lot of the... They've picked up a lot of the things that Toys R Us used to do. In fact, some Targets even have carpeted areas. Don't play on it, but we're going to set out a few big wheels and a few play areas for you to look at so you could see what the things could look like. And they even have tickets on some of the big things where you could go down an aisle, it'll show you the picture of what it is, and you could pull a ticket to buy, you know, the slide or swing set or the... You know, the little, what do they call those things? The fucking trucks and the cars, the little powered, God, I don't even know what they are. But anyway, Toys R Us. Almost everyone has a memory when you hear the name of that store. What is your first experience with Toys R Us? Think about it for a second. You hear the name. Do you hear the door opening? Do you remember what you saw first? I'm gonna do this for you guys. I'm gonna close my eyes and I'm gonna try and remember the first time I went into a Toys R Us. Right away, I mean, obviously, okay, so this is definitely Washington, I want to say this is the Toys R Us behind the Tacoma Mall. And it's kind of the brown one with the wooden slats, fake roof. So it made it look like a house. And then the Toys R Us logo was mostly orange, if I remember right, with the old school Jeffrey. And when you walked in the door, you are immediately in the novelties section. And one of the first things I remember seeing, I'm 6, 7 years old right now in my mind. I'm walking through and I'm seeing this clear as day. To the right, there's like backpacks and pencil cases and erasers and eraser figures. That isn't even something that's out anymore. In fact, I'm looking at a Thundercat. I didn't even remember that they had those, but there's Thundercats eraser figures. And pencil toppers, too. The Optimus Prime and Jazz, there's a pencil topper to that. And then you round the corner, and they sort of dump you in some really bright aisles. And that's kind of the video game area. And you see a bunch of the, I think they were blue and white originally. Correct me if I'm wrong, but possibly blue and yellow. But they had tickets for all the video games. So they would be a plastic placard there that would show the box art for all the video games. You'd flip it up, see the back of it. And if you decide you want to buy it, you would take it and you would buy this piece of paper. And then you would get to go up to like their ATM or security window, like a cashier window at a casino cage. And they would pull down the game, give it to you, good to go, and you could leave. And then I remember just wall to wall, floor to ceiling, toys. And for the most part, the toys were boxed. Everything came in a box. There was very few window packaging items. In fact, the only things that I remember that had a window were the blister carded figures. So He-Man, Star Wars, G.I. Joe, action figures, single figures like that, all were blister carded, and that was the only way you could see the figure. Otherwise, you had to look at a box and sort of guess what this was. And it's one of the first things I can remember even as a kid, because I was interested in the artwork and the packaging. And you look at the back of the box and it shows what's in there. And then there's that little asterisk that says colors may vary. Because when you open the box, you got to put it together. You got to put the stickers on it. You have to figure out how it works. Or even if it's a construction set, you know, they even had Constructs, I think, before Mega Constructs is like an offbeat Lego brand now. But Constructs back in the day were a hexagonal connecting robotics toy that you could build, you know, little arms that would pick up thing, or space. I think some even came with action figures, but you could build like space toys and they would have little moving engines. But, you know, on the right side of this Toys R Us, there would have been all of those. And it would just be wall-to-wall boxes of stuff. And sometimes they would mix and match. So you would have the generic G.I. Joes next to the actual G.I. Joes, but you wouldn't know because the packaging looked darn near identical. You just, you know, you didn't get the brand label G.I. Joe. And then you would move on from that to the action figure aisle. And that was like, that was the longest aisle when I was a kid. Because the items were so small that there were literally thousands. You could crawl up a shelving unit at Toys R Us on a mountain of action figures. You wouldn't even believe it. going to a Walmart or a Target now and seeing 12 empty pegs and realize that there were thousands upon thousands of single carded action figures in one aisle. Now that's something, it's just unfathomable. I'm even just, God, I can't even remember any other feeling than walking into a Toys R Us and seeing that. And then a couple aisles over would be like the bicycles. And they would build a lot of them, but they were sort of ticketed as well. Power Wheels, that's what I was trying to think of. Yeah, the motorized giant vehicles you could ride around were Power Wheels. Man, took me a while. And then you would go through the checkout lanes, and I remember all of the cashiers and employees wore vests. They're almost like safety vests. And they would ask you if you needed batteries for anything. You could go buy something. They'd talk to you about toys. They were chipper and happy, and they would offer you something promotional, like a coloring book or stickers or something that you could take home. I'm looking right now at one of those promotional items that's sitting on my wall. It's the 1986 Masters of the Universe poster where it's Castle Grayskull on one side and Snake Mountain on the other side, and they sort of walk down the trail and it shows you all the new products. It was basically a checklist of what was out from 85 to 86 era, with Battle Armor He-Man on Battle Cat and Battle Armor Skeletor on Panther. And they just, do you want this? Yeah, of course I want that. Roll it up, slap a rubber band on that sumbitch, put it in the bag, you are good to go. And it just, man. Another thing, you could have birthday parties there. You could get, there was usually like a little side room or a little area, and it just, it was like going to heaven when you were a kid. They would even have shows and local contests for poor kids or someone that their family had gone through something, or Bart Simpson burned down the Christmas tree, so they sent him on a shopping spree. Do you even know what that is? You used to be able to, no shit, grab a shopping cart if you won one of these shopping sprees. And you would get, I don't know, a minute, 5 minutes to run through the store and put whatever fit in your cart and run it through the checkout aisle, and you got to keep it. That never happened. I'm at a loss for words even thinking about that, because that's not something that would happen. Can you imagine? These fuckers would go right into their Target and Walmart if they got a shopping spree, grab all the iPads and iPhones just so they could put on eBay and resell them later. Nobody's there for the actual experience, and nobody wants physical items. They're all just so absorbed with the fucking phones. Oh, like I talked about last week, you need an escape. I miss an escape. I have nowhere to go, and a lot of people don't have anywhere to go, and we're so pent up and frustrated. We can barely even date anymore, because we're so imprisoned in our own worlds. Even if we do get to go to work, we're still imprisoned in our phones. Look up and look around and stretch your eyes, for God's sake. But Toys R Us, man, it was so, so much fun. In fact, they would do almost a mini Comic Con at some of these, I've heard, where they would show off the new toys, or they would have a character come up and reveal the new thing. I have pictures somewhere of me getting to meet Orko and He-Man and Skeletor in the full costume, and even Jeffrey was there, the giant giraffe. And just to let you know what age that I was, at this point, I still believed in Santa Claus, and as you rightfully should, in case you still do believe, good for you, because I wish I still did. I remember tugging on my mom's blouse and being like, "Mom, that's not Orko." She's like, "What are you talking about?" I was like, "Mom, that's not Orko. Orko doesn't have a blonde ponytail." And my mom's like, "Oh, geez, he knows this character's in a costume, something like that." And I'm like, "Mom, that's not Orko. That's Driel. Can you believe it? Orko's girlfriend Driel showed up. That's the coolest thing ever." I mean, it was imagination. It was innocence. Before I knew that my friends were black, before I knew that my female friends liked other females, before I knew that I even liked females, or before I found out how terrible the world can be to each other, I believed I was meeting He-Man, and it was thanks to Toys R Us. Now, let me tell you something. Toys R Us killed Toys R Us. Just like Brett screwed Brett, Toys R Us killed Toys R Us. They became too corporate, and they rebranded themselves. They tried competing with FAO Schwartz and coming out with higher-end items. They even changed the look of Jeffrey to be more geometric, and they started getting into the digital age, and you started seeing less and less of the action figures and more of the gimmicks, whatever was hot at that particular time. I remember about the time that I was getting into my teenage years, very specifically going down the action figure aisle that I just reminisced about and trying to search for WWF Hasbro figures. And this were the SummerSlam wave with the little sticker in the upper right corner. And there was just maybe like 8 pegs full of them, which was light compared to the way it used to be. And then big box stuff. They started moving the big box things into the toy aisles and the action figure aisles because it would space it out more to fill the holes. I guess to make it still look more full because video games were taking over. So with Super Nintendo coming out and Genesis, and then Genesis CD-ROM drive and 32-bit or whatever the hell it was, all those things started taking over the toy aisle. So you didn't have the floor-to-ceiling toys anymore. And as I got bigger, the Toys R Us aisles got smaller. And then even some of the more gimmicky stuff like Monster Makers and the Creepy Crawlies and stuff that just, it was like science lab shit. And I guess that's when they started promoting more learning toys and Imaginarium kind of things. And it just, to me, it started going downhill. And also, they started raising the prices. So if I wanted to buy a Hasbro, I went to Kmart because they were $4.99. But if you went to Toys R Us, or even worse, their competitor, KB Toys, which there was probably 5 times as many as those because there was one in every mall and probably a Toys R Us in only every 4th mall that you went to, maybe every other mall at best. Hasbro's were $7.99. I have the cards right here. In fact, even one of them, I think, from KB Toys says $9.99. You remember buying a $9.99 action figure in the 90s? That's ludicrous. Scratch through that with a red marker and call that sumbitch 3 for 10. Because that's how I got a lot of my yellow card Hasbros. They were all 3 for 10. Razor Ramon, Shawn Michaels, and Kamala. Remember specifically, 3 for 10. I there's no way I'd pay $9.99 for one of those things. So they realized that they weren't making the money off of anything other than video games. So they just started. I really blame it on the when they stopped the orange stickers. The orange stickers used to be when Toys R Us was good. They had an actual... I mean, they'd pull out the case, a G.I. Joe's, and they would slap one of those fucking stickers on every single one. In fact, if you're a Mint on Card collector or a vintage toy collector, you probably have one. I'm looking at Secret Wars right now. They have a few original orange sticker Toys R Us things, price tags. And when they got rid of those and they started doing the yellow labels on the pegs and everything started going digital, they lost the money. I mean, Toys R Us bucks was another big element to one of the favorite things. Finally, I had a currency as a kid. If I returned something at Christmas time or a birthday, I got Toys R Us bucks, and I knew that money didn't have to go towards school supplies or books or snacks or saving for the next pair of shoes or a video game. Those were just meant for me for toys. And then, you know, after I graduated high school and in towards college, so we're talking latter 90s to about 2001, Toys R Us was just, it was shit. I hated Toys R Us. In fact, I would go there just for the nostalgia purposes, remembering the old brown Toys R Us's. And then you walk into these new fuckers, and they're bright blue. They've got rid of all the old shelves and all the old price tags. The toys that I remembered weren't there anymore. And they sectioned everything off to look like FAO Schwartz. I'm sorry, that worked for New York. That worked for the movie Big. That's not why I went there. I did not go to step on a fucking piano. I went there to buy action figures. And I never stopped collecting. So even when I'm in college and I'm trying to buy stuff, Power of the Force comes out, and but I think I was buying those, and I just started getting back into Star Wars. That was about the only action figures you could find. And now those are like the most mass-produced, overpriced, or I'm sorry, the most mass-produced, cheap Star Wars figures you can find out there. Even today, you can go to a convention and find the orange and green saber, Power of the Force collection Star Wars figures, and they're like, yeah, just take it. Those are 2 for $5. Just fucking take it. And I love them. I still think that they're great because, you know, I'm not a big fan of articulation as it is anyway, because you lose the toy factor to it. But believe it or not, I would attempt to work at Toys R Us, and they would never hire me because they knew me as a collector. Even right out of college, I was like, I'd like to work here. They'll never hire you because you're a collector. Well, why not? Wouldn't you want an expert to work here? No, because we're afraid you're going to steal stuff. We're afraid that you're going to hide things just so you can buy them. And I was like, well, why does that matter? You're still making money because I would be spending the money that you'd be spending on me and giving it back to you so I could have product. I'm not seeing a problem here. No, we just don't hire collectors. So I never got the job while I was in Washington. But guess what my first job in Nevada was when I moved down here? That's right. Petco. Yeah, it lasted about a week there until I had to freeze a ferret who showed up sick so it could be incinerated the next day. Fuck Petco. When I moved down to Nevada, I did all of my schooling in Washington. So when I came down to Nevada, I didn't have any plans after college. I couldn't get a job working in the degree that I had just got, because they wanted experience, or they wanted you to, just train with people and be an apprentice as a graphic designer, which that doesn't pay the bills. In fact, I even got a letter back from, I think it was Top Cow, because I was trying Wildstorm, Top Cow, all these places, and they're like, you know, you could come into our apprenticeship program and try out. And like, you're telling me I have to afford and live on my own in La Jolla, California? Yeah, right. That's not going to happen. And even when I tried to get a degree-based job at one of the casinos on their design team, they were willing to hire me, but only at minimum wage, which I think back then was like $6.25 or $7.25, something stupid like that. You know, it was ridiculous. So I went and I got a job at Toys R Us, and I applied for the management job. And I didn't tell them I was a collector, but I told them I was in the toy industry and had worked with a lot of the different things. And they hired me as a manager for $10 an hour. And I thought, man, I'm killing it. This is it. This is my career right here. I'm going to be working for Toys R Us. And it brought back the original memories when I was a kid. You got the binder, and it had the song in there in case there was a birthday party and you had to learn the song so that you could lead the kids. And I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. And remember the commercials? You know, in the binder, we were actually forced to memorize that. And there was a lot of etiquette and a lot of things. And I was, believe it or not, I went in and I told them, I was like, I need to be in charge of boys' toys. And they said, no, I'm sorry, you're manager of the girls' toys. And I'm like, the what? Yeah, you're going to be managing girls in Imaginarium. And I was like, well, at least I got Imaginarium. But as part of your job, you were told, and this was 2001, I want to say. Maybe 2002. Anyway, you were told to play with the items in your area as best you could without opening the package to make the kids want to buy them. So, you know what? I have no shame. I'll tell you straight up that I put on a tiara, a pink feather boa, and rode a bicycle around. And I even tried to ride the Barbie Power Wheel before my fat ass burned the motor out. But, yeah, I made it fun. It was great. And in Imaginarium, it just, you know, it was all science toys. And, you know, I liked the dinosaur stuff and the fossil digs. And then we would do a few promotional things. I remember one time the Creepy Crawlies was still around, or they were doing like a resurgence of those. So me and one of my employees, since I was a manager, we had to show the kids how cool this was. And we're making these concoctions out of these, you know, it was like chemistry set, easy bake chemistry set. And you would put the powder into soda and it would turn into a worm crawling out of your Coca-Cola. And it was all I could do to keep that in. And the kids were giggling. But you know what? It was fun and they enjoyed it. And then the old lady that was in the boys' toys, I started, I don't want to say throwing under the bus, but she wasn't doing her job. And it was at that point I started wondering why certain people were in the position that they were hired in. She didn't know shit about toys. She literally just got the job because she got the job. And she was opening the packages with an X-Acto knife and slicing through. I mean, when I worked there was the first iteration of Marvel Legends. And I remember they were hot. Everybody wanted them. Simpsons toys were out. Muppets were just coming out. All these were hot items. And she would let them sit in the back. And then when she would open them up, she would slice through the fucking box with an X-Acto knife and cut open the package. So I wrote up a letter and told the general manager what was going on and how she was ruining sales. And he ended up firing her over it. I mean, it was to the point where she needed to be retired and she was kind of just too old for that position anyway. And they finally gave me boys, toys to manage. And that was great. I was probably the happiest I think I could have been at a job. And then immediately the work bullshit started happening, where I quickly learned it doesn't matter how much you like your job or what you do for the customers, you have to be a corporate man no matter what. And there was a lot of problems. I would refuse to return things if they cherry picked, like, you know, they're buying a G.I. Joe vehicle, which I think G.I. Joe versus Cobra was out, or, you know, Cobra Valor, Venom, whatever the hell that was. And they would cherry pick the one rare figure and then try and return the vehicle. And I was like, no, I can't give you the full price if you're not returning the figure. And then the general manager says, we return everything, you exit out, and you send it back to the distributor. And I'm like, that's wrong. These people are legit stealing from you. And I would even catch people. I was great at loss prevention because I knew every trick in the book to steal stuff. Not that I had ever done it, but I was smart enough to figure out how they were doing it. Where if you came in with a stroller with no kids, I knew you were trying to steal something. And I remember stopping one lady, opening up her, a little cooler. And she had foil line on the inside of the cooler and video games in there, because remember they came in the crack cases with the little magnetic strip that would would sound off the alarm if you went through there. Well, apparently if you put a quarter next to the strip or lined it case with tin foil, you could walk through there and escape without these cards. I mean, it doesn't work now because they have a different strip, but back then it was just like a little sticker, like a circuit sticker. And it would work. And I caught it. But now you wouldn't be able to touch them. You wouldn't be able to touch their car or their property. That's just all the rules have changed. And I remember even the general manager, who was hot after my shit and didn't like me, he congratulated me for catching all these things. And believe it or not, my reward was like two or three 15-minute prepaid phone cards. I mean, I didn't even have a cell phone at that point, but it was like I could punch in the numbers if I wanted to call collect from a pay phone. That was my reward for just stopping some lady from stealing $300 worth of video games. Yeah, whatever, dick. And then I had a personality that people would come back for. One of my customers was David Coverdale from Whitesnake. He would come down from Tahoe to my Toys R Us specifically, and he would get Yoda figures or the green lightsabers. He says, my kid's obsessed with the Yoda thing. Is there any way you could do? So we weren't supposed to do this, but I knew the case numbers and I knew what case they were in. So I'd crawl through the back and find the case with Yoda in there, cherry pick it. And the rule was you were supposed to open the entire case and put all the figures out. And you couldn't open a case unless all the figures fit on the shelf. And I said, we're losing money because when you've got peg warmers, you know, I couldn't express this enough to them. I actually would put all the peg warmers in one row, and then I would put the new product to the left, so that when all the collectors came in, which there weren't scalpers and collectors and scratching your ass itch pods, there were actual people that collected because they liked the fucking Muppets or they liked Marvel Legends, and they would be appreciative that I would open the box carefully, put them up there nicely, and I would even try and cling the tissue paper to the figure still while it was on the pegs until I realized you couldn't see what the fucking figure was. But I would do everything in my power to make it a pleasurable experience for collectors. Even the Hot Wheels guys. I would stack the bin full of Hot Wheels, and I would put the treasure hunts directly on top. Or sometimes I would fuck with them and I would put like one treasure hunt behind a Simpsons figure or something, and then they know. But it just, I didn't need them to rip through all these packages and ruin figures for other kids just so they could find the one treasure hunt. But they weren't doing it for eBay's sake. They were doing it because they wanted it and it was for their collection. So it was just, it was a different time. And then I didn't have the same feeling anymore of nostalgia having worked there, and I realized what a bunch of corporate BS this was, because I would have to do my weekly reports and own up to why I hadn't sold 30 bikes that week because I didn't rotate them properly, or why I didn't push high-end things, and why R-Zone and the video games outsold me. And I'm like, well, because they sell 10 games and they've met their quota for the day. I sell 100 figures and I still have to sell 10 more. You know, so it was just, there was a lot of political bullshit and it just wasn't fun. But they didn't have the product that people were coming in for. And even when I would cashier and talk to people, I wanted to give kids then the experience I had, but we had no promotional items to give them, not even a sticker or a pencil. I would try and, you know, interact or be excited about the toy that they were getting, and they just, there weren't any, you know, and it just was a hard thing to see because it wasn't there, and it just, it wasn't fun anymore. So needless to say, it didn't work out, and that asshole that was actually about ready to be retired himself told me that after the Christmas season, I was about to be replaced, and essentially I was a seasonal employee, which I was like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, a manager being a seasonal employee. I mean, I was in charge of a crew of 12 just for boys during Christmas when the Spider-Man web shooters was the hottest toy of that season. And they told me I was being let go. They said it was time to look for another job. So as with everything, I was disheartened and I started hating the company. And, you know, lo and behold, people should probably be careful, because as I start hating things, that particular company goes down really fast. Like, I'm absolutely convinced none of you are real. None of this is real. This is all just some matrix in my mind. I'm already living in my afterlife, creating this world that I'm so nostalgic about losing. And it just, I wanted to see Toys R Us fail because they weren't creating an experience for kids anymore. All they were doing was money, 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 and pushing the newest gimmick, which I get it. I just wish that things would have been the way when I was a kid. And I didn't realize that when I was a kid, the hottest new thing was Masters of the Universe and Transformers, G.I. Joe, and stuff like that. But those items weren't there, and there wasn't anything cheap for kids to go in and get. In fact, the hottest sellers that I had beyond action figures, which mostly went to my age collectors, because I'm pretty sure, honestly, my generation are the only collectors. I don't see anyone younger than me being a collector. I really don't. There's maybe less than 1% of the people I know that are younger than me that collect. And I'm talking younger, like they're in their 20s now and grew up with Pokemon cards, which now those are apparently a hot ticket item if they actually saved them. And some of them are PSA graded to be whatever, Jeremy Padawar, calm down. Yeah, so Toys R Us pretty much killed it themselves. They screwed themselves and they stopped being about toys and it was all about the money. And then, as you know, luck would turn out, they filed for bankruptcy. They tried to save themselves. I had started going back in and I tried to collect after I stopped working there, and it just, there wasn't anything for me. I think really the only thing I would get, speaking of, you know, Jeremy Badauer, whatever his name is, I would buy Classic Superstars because it was great. Even though they were incorrect, Road Warriors never wore laced boots in their entire fucking lives, and most of the figures that were managers were about 2 feet taller than the rest of the squad. But it was probably the coolest wrestling line there was. Because I'm sorry, if anyone from Mattel is listening to this or gets word of this, I hate the skinny arms. I know they're trying to make it not look like the guys are on steroids anymore, but these skinny-armed maquette mannequins that they're producing. It just... honestly, if they don't have soft goods or stylized outfit that they come with, I don't buy them anymore. I can't. They just don't look like bulky figures. I feel like I'm getting ripped off paying three times as much for something that would have cost a third back in the day just because you wanted to have 5 points of articulation in the dick. Like, come on. Figure photography. So when I got wind that Toys R Us was closing down, I was ready. I was ready to let that one go. And I saw a lot of, you know, by about the time they were closing down, I had made friends with the Fig Life community and Fully Posable. And I saw everybody getting sad that Toys R Us was closing. And I think they were more or less just upset that the nostalgia is gone. But if you really go back and think about it, there wasn't anything there for us. A lot of you had said you wanted to take your kids into a Toys R Us so they could have the same experiences that you had. But when was the last time you saw anything other than that abstract geometric shaped fucking giraffe that they had dress up and show up? Did they ever have a Pokemon show up? Did Peppa the Pig or whatever kids watch, did Dora the Explorer ever show up at a Toys R Us? Did your kid ever do a birthday party at McDonald's or Toys R Us? Were you ever able to buy anything that you had when you were a kid at Toys R Us? You couldn't even get the ticketed items. In fact, bikes and power wheels or power, whatever the fuck those things are. Those were the only things with tickets anymore, because you can go into our zone and just pick up the video game where they, you know, hand it to you from behind the counter kind of thing. I don't think when people remember Toys R Us that they're thinking of the correct place. I really don't. So for everyone that's excited now that Toys R Us is coming back, what are we going to see at Toys R Us that we've been missing out on? Frankly, all anyone would do is complain. Because everyone in the figure community bitches and moans, oh, are they going to have store exclusives? They don't have that in the UK. Well, I can't get this because that's an American thing. Well, why is everything going to be at Walmart? Walmart doesn't stock their shelves. Why has it got to be a Target exclusive? I can never get my figure, you 40-year-old fucking pouting, whining bitch. Shut up. I bitched. I threw a tizzy fit the last 2 years in a row over San Diego Comic-Con and not being able to get the exclusives. I understand what the point of an exclusive is, but as I've reiterated several times to people, the point of an exclusive, let's take Masters of the Universe, for example, is to give you something offbeat that if you missed out on, you would be like, shit, I really wanted that. But it wasn't integral to the line so that if I didn't get it, I would feel like my collection was incomplete. Like if you did Masters of the Universe, you wouldn't come out with He-Man and Skeletor as your fucking San Diego Comic-Con item. Mr. T, the Ninja Turtles, all of these things, they made the core people that you were supposed to collect the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive, and they made it impossible to get. Nika has done the only thing good and tried to rectify that. At least a year later, they pushed those items to GameStop where you could buy the Turtles individually. And then now that they have more of a widespread thing, they're trying to do pre-orders and fix the problems with Target exclusives versus movie Walmart exclusives. I get it. Mattel's trying to follow suit with Mattel Creations, and they allowed Mr. T and a few of their Comic-Con items to go up. But man, scalpers are fucking ruining it for absolutely everybody. And I don't know. I mean, it's just not the same. So like I say, Toys R Us comes back. It would be cool right now to walk into a Toys R Us and see the amalgamation of all the things that I liked in one spot. But see, Walmart's kind of got the retro reissue Transformer thing going on. So you're not going to see the box Transformers at Toys R Us. You could see possibly the Classic Superstars if they continue that with the new AEW line. So that would be kind of neat to see. It would be phenomenal to see Masters of the Universe in droves on a shelf at a Toys R Us, especially with Origins now. But you got to understand, if they market this to kids, 90% of the store is going to be electronic, pads, pool and swimming gear, and stuffed animals. That's the only thing that sells right now. The dolls. I mean, you can't think about being a toy company right now. You can't produce things for a demographic because parents are letting their children choose their demographic. Not trying to offend people, but it's the truth of the thing. How do you market dolls and Barbie dolls to kids that don't even know what gender they are? And that's fine. Take your kid in there and let them decide. If I was a kid right now and was put into a Target or a Walmart, I don't know. I would probably pick one of the men Barbie dolls if he had a guitar or maybe a drum set and not know that that was a quote-unquote girl's toy, because I wouldn't care. I would want, like, Max Steel or a G.I. Joe. I mean, this dude would be cool with a guitar. Or I would go find something with a creature or a monster or something scary. So I would look at, you know, maybe the Transformers Beast Wars or Masters of the Universe or something like that. And I just don't see that happening should Toys R Us come back. I really don't. And it's a shame because if they were smart, they would cater to adult collectors. And not only that, they would come out with the products that adult collectors used to have. Let's role play for a little bit. I just bought Toys R Us. I bought the name. I bought everything, and I'm going to open the stores again. I'm not going to open one at every other mall. I'm going to have one in a major city. Unfortunately, it's probably going to be California or New York. And I would make it a theme park. I would make it a museum to where you walked into the history of Toys R Us, where you got to see the toys from the past and then be shuffled into a gift shop that would be the actual toy store and the actual Toys R Us. That way kids can go, "Dad, you used to play with that? Mom, look at that. That's cool. You used to jump rope? That's like for PE. You used to do that for fun?" And kids would get to see how happy those things made their parents and then go into the gift shop and then maybe they would get a Toys R Us exclusive jump rope. Or they would get, Star Wars is something that can be passed down because that sort of never died. And I don't see it now that Disney owns it. I don't see it going away anytime soon. Disney never did action figures or collectibles. In fact, I've never had, other than Happy Meal toys or little 2.5 PVCs from cereal boxes, anything from Disney. And you know damn good and well if Toys R Us did come back, 90% of the fucking store would be Funko. The fucking Beanie Babies of the world today. Ugh. I love Funko, but God, produce something else. Anybody, please. But you gotta figure, you know, if this did come back, would there be a collector area where Nika and Mezco and some of the more expensive lines would be there, knowing fully well that those aren't toys and meant to be played with, and would parents bring back Ultimate Edition Ninja Turtle or Texas Chainsaw Massacre they bought for their kid that broke in 2 minutes because adults try and pose them and break them, and now they're inundated. I mean, that would ruin NECA. That's why their numbers are so small as it is, I can almost guarantee, because if it was on a greater scale and they had to do 100,000 returns every month, they'd be done for. Quality control would be out the fucking window. Even though realizing that it's a collector-only line, they're going to put it in a store filled with actual toys, which is a whole different ballgame. So, as also a part of this role play, I would open some real stores, some actual Toys R Us's. But here's what I would do. I would make it nostalgic in a way that would appease to kids. And I'm throwing this idea out there, and God knows it's probably going to happen because all of my ideas get taken and someone does it first. But I think they need to come out with bookmarks and pencil toppers and bag buddies, little rubber squishable figurines. And I think when you walk into a Toys R Us, they should have those things. And then bring back coloring books and crayons and stuff like that that's cheap. And if it gets chewed up, swallowed by the dog, or ripped up, or whatever, no big loss. Because parents are more likely to buy toys for the sake of toys if kids are just going to have fun with them if they're cheap, rather than let's buy them a $600 iPad that they're going to drop once and crack the screen. Or whatever. I mean, I think even Toys R Us had their own brand of iPads and Baby Einstein stuff. I mean, good Lord. I had to learn to appreciate the electronic before I was ever allowed to have one of those things, but whatever. I mean, kids are practically born with a Facebook account these days. All right, is that passé? Is it TikTok now? I don't know. I can't keep up. But another thing you could do is what they're doing, say, you know, like I said, Walmart's bringing back figures that they already released of the Headmasters for Transformers, but now they're putting it in a nostalgic box. Damn it all if I don't want to buy it again. I think that's great. I love seeing the box. And I also love that they're getting rid of the wire. It's a bitch to get out of there, but they used to have that plastic-coated terrible wire that would keep the figure inside of the plastic. They're getting rid of that, and they're putting the sort of clothing tags. Is that what you would call it? Like, if there was a tag attached to clothing, they'd put the little plastic T in there. That's what's holding figures in the cases now. And they're getting away from window boxes and using less plastic to actually have packaging art again. So I think it's a phenomenal idea. And even when things are stocked, it's good to see a toy aisle filled with box art and packaging. But again, it's just not that era. It's not something that appeals to kids anymore. So I would do exclusive stuff. And as much as people hate exclusives, there has to be a reason. I would never go to Walgreens. I have zero reason to go to Walgreens. But because Marvel Legends and now I guess G.I. Joe and a few other companies, even Funko, are doing Walgreens exclusives, that gets me in the store so that when I get in the aisle, there's other things and novelties that I'm going to see. I was searching for the Fantastic Four Marvel Legends at Walgreens and didn't even realize that at Halloween time, they had a pretty sick section of Universal Monsters stuff or bone creatures. And I bought a bunch of those. Walgreens is still one of the few places that clearance out good things after the holidays so you can get a decent price. Walmart and Target really don't do that anymore. But I would bring back things like the Eraser figures or a Toys R Us exclusive line of retro figures. Like, bring back... Target kind of does that. They've really kind of become Toys R Us, if you really look at it. Because they have, like, the Sock Monkey, the Rock'em Sock'em Robots, Ouija Board, or, you know, Raggedy Ann dolls, all in the retro packaging. I think they should do that. And then open it up as a collectibles store. And then have things on a shelf that kids can't destroy and play with, but then still have half of the store be a place where you may not buy it, but you can put on that tiara and feather boa and have fun with your kid. You know, hit him with a pool noodle or something like that. My sick brain, I just automatically went to, the, you know, whack him with a baseball bat. That'd be fun. Come here, you little crotch goblin. No. But you really have to cater to collectors. That's the only way for Toys R Us to compete. And honestly, I believe they have to do it without doing online. I remember ToysRUs.com was a fucking joke. You can't compete with Amazon anymore. And now even Walmart's trying to compete with Amazon. And all the resellers on Target and Walmart... I mean, my mom got ripped off trying to buy me something that I had asked for, which was a collectible, and some reseller had bought it and charged three times as much. And then by the picture, she didn't realize that it was Mega Construct Scare Glow. We all know how rare that one was. And she thought it was the full-size figure. When that showed up as a 2-inch fucking Lego minifigure that she paid $30 for, she about screamed. And I don't blame her. I was pissed, too. There was a couple other things that people have bought me that have been ripped off. I was into this, you know, the WWE Masters of the Universe line. And someone got me a Triple H that they found off of Walmart.com. And they, yeah, it must be collectible because I paid $30 for it. And I'm like, take that fucker back. It's $15. Well, I don't know what the prices are supposed to be. Yeah, because they're ripping you off. They fuck you in the drive-thru. They always fuck you. It's Joe Pesci. Lethal Weapon. Anybody? No? You? You get it. You know what I mean. Anyway. Man. I don't know. I honestly don't want Toys R Us to come back. As much as I miss the video stores that I was nostalgic about in the last episode, I don't know that I would want Toys R Us to come back. Because what are they going to put in there that's going to get me in the store again? So this is the thing, and I think this is what's ruined collectors and stores that housed collections and collectibles, is because they didn't used to be collectible. They used to just be a toy store, and we made them collectible. So now we're fighting over exclusives and the one per cases, and they've marketed so much to collectors. Even though I said they should open a Toys R Us catered directly to collectors, they need to do it in a way that are going to keep collectors happy. Like, put two of each figure in a case. How hard is that? I don't want a case breakdown of 6 John Cena, 2 Drew McIntyre, 1 AJ Styles, and then 1 Titus O'Neil. None of those are going to fly off the shelf. They're all peg warmers, no matter how many times and different variations you put in the box. You need to do what they're doing with throwing in like Davy Boy Smith or the Billy Graham or one of the legends. Fine. Put one new person, one female, one legend, and then two tag teams, or two people from a tag team. That's 5-6 people right there. That's how each case should break down. And at a 12 case, it should be two of each. And if you even want, this is what you need to do, Mattel. This is what you need to do, Toy Biz and Hasbro. And Toy Biz ain't even around. I wish they were. Fuck. Anyway, what you need to do is put two of each character and then make one of them the chase. like every other case has an alternate attire. But don't make it so that the alternate attire is the only way of getting that character. In other words, everyone starts to freak out because they can't get Harley Race, and then you've got pegs full of Stone Cold that nobody wants. Or Fat Jake. Like, I wanted Revelations Jake the Snake. I thought that would have been cool, but because everybody freaked out and went and got Harley Race and you know, scalped that whole line, I didn't get a chance to get that figure. And they even had to go and re-release Ricky Steamboat, but they're not re-releasing anything else. I think you almost have to. In fact, I like that Super 7 and Nika and some of the smaller companies will re-release things to even combat collectability just so that everybody gets a chance to get it. I absolutely loved that Laughing Prince Adam sold out so fast because everybody loved it and there was such a demand that they went back to print and produced more of them. In fact, you can even still get it right now on Big Bad Toy Store. And it's still the same price that it was for Comic-Con. And they even go through sales and clearances on there. But I think that's awesome. Now, does that mean that you're not going to buy it because it's not rare and you're not going to have that, you know, chase, that hunt, and getting something that someone else doesn't have? Or are you going to be a happy collector because you can just buy the thing that you want? Maybe you weren't going to buy it anyway. I think a lot of people just buy something because it says collectible or it's one per case, not realizing they didn't want the fucking thing to begin with. They just buying it because it's rare. I wish people would buy for aesthetics like I'm doing. I've changed. I've really changed when it comes to my habits as far as collecting. I buy one of each character for the best possible iteration of that character from each of the main shows. And I've sold most of my collection. I think, you know, even just since I've done that podcast with Nerdy Laser and Podcasticon where I said I had 7,000 figures, I honestly believe I've sold, even since then, I've probably sold half of that much. I sell privately. I sell to friends at little pop-up shops or toy swaps here in Vegas, or I'll begrudgingly put stuff on eBay and I'll sell entire collections. Like just recently I sold, you know, all 200 of those little 3.75-inch Marvel Universe figures just so I can collect them again because now they're doing less articulation and making them like the old Star Wars Kenner style. That's great. Sell all those bitches and start over. I'm fine with that. I do it with He-Man every 10 years. So that's nostalgia. And that's my escape. Toy collecting is my escape. I can sit in my office and for the 5 minutes that I'm here not having to work or not having to draw or think about what mask I have to wear to go toy hunting or what's going on in the world outside, I can sit and turn around and look at memories because I physically own something. You know, this is my last little side note and deviation. When mobile gaming first started coming out, I got into a lot of those apps and I downloaded every single one because I couldn't believe that there were free games, not realizing that they were going to get you with in-app purchases. And then, you know, once I got into Tapped Out with The Simpsons and the Family Guy game, I spent probably $150 because Family Guy got me. They came out with like Kiss versions and Mass of the Universe and Ghostbuster versions. And even Simpsons started doing like their Treehouse of Horror. And you could only get those characters to play with in your digital world if you spend $1.99. And before I knew it, I had bought, you know, 50 characters and I'd spent $100 and getting extra stars so I could unlock more chances to play. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm gambling. They found a way to get me with gambling. So I had to quit. I gave it up like an addiction. I had to stop mobile gaming. And now I don't even know if anyone does it anymore. I've stopped using my phone for damn near everything because it's a trap. Admiral Akbar should be everybody's screensaver. and it should remind them that their phones are a freaking trap. So that was a collection of digital things, just like a Netflix streaming service, that I can't touch, and at any given moment the server could go down, or they decide a character isn't right for me or is offensive to someone else, and they take it away from me even though it wasn't offensive for me, and now something that I paid for is being taken away and controlled. I don't physically own anything. Every PlayStation 4 game I buy now is all digital. I don't physically own any of those games. It's just, this digital world is a prison, and they rule us, and it's just killing collectability and aesthetics. Does anyone even do houseplants or collect physical things or unicorn statues? Or, I mean, there's nothing anymore to collect other than things you can't physically touch. And I'll tell you what you can collect these days is bills. That's about it. But anyway, I hope you have fond memories of your Toys R Us. I hope if you do have kids that you did get to take them in there just for your benefit, so that they could see at least the building that you got, you know, so much pleasure out of being in, even though the things that you used to buy weren't there. If it does come back, I hope it's good. I hope it's not so washed out and mainstream that they're going to put one on every corner like a Walmart or a Starbucks. I know that wouldn't happen, but I really hope they take in consideration the collector part of it. We'll see. Who knows? But man, things just aren't the way they used to be. And I don't know that we can ever get that back. Be safe out there, y'all.